Adversity? Bring it. The struggle? I welcome it. Snooze on life? Never that. I am Dave Regina, and this is the No Snooze Podcast. Come on. Welcome back, No Snooze Podcast, episode 171. As always, I'm in the booth with a new three. We have Francis, you know what time it is, Volpe.
What's going on?
Claudio, the voice, Valenzuela, who happens to be wearing the ugliest sweater I've ever seen, and he told me that it's a women's sweater. Shout out, CV. And I am Dave, the body, Regina. Francis Volpe is a co-founder of Why Not You Media. And he has a passion for innovation and marketing. Francis plays a pivotal role in steering the company towards success as he specializes in consulting, content creation, paid ads, and website development with the goal of elevating brands to new heights. In addition to his role at Why Not You Media, Francis is the dynamic co-host of Snack Time alongside Nikki Smalls. Snack Time has collectively garnered over 10 million views across Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, showcasing Francis's commitment to spotlighting small businesses in Westchester County. Through engaging content and a keen eye for impactful storytelling, Francis continues to leave a mark on the digital marketing sphere, fostering growth and success for businesses in the ever-evolving online landscape. Welcome to the podcast, my brother.
My man, I appreciate it. I love being on podcasts. So I guess, so yeah, I honestly do, because it gives you a chance to just speak to people in a different way. You know, it opens people up, I think. And I also, I don't mind cameras. I pretend to not even hear.
Yep.
So I'm an open book. I'm vulnerable. So I'm very excited to be here, man. I appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah, man. Happy to have you here. Yeah, I don't like the cameras. You would never know, though, right?
No, you wouldn't.
I'm lying. I love him. You can't have a beard like this and not like the camera. Go ahead, CV.
You guys know that this monitor up here, you can't, on camera, you can't tell. This is only for Dave. This is a Dave monitor.
That's right.
Not just for anybody
so I can
else.
Check in, you know?
Dave monitor.
All right, so I have to start with Snack Time.
Okay.
Right? I got to start there because I didn't really know who you guys were, and this was months back. Before I met Tony, Tony and I did a great episode. If you guys haven't checked that one out, I forget the number. It's 50 or 60 something with Tony Peck. That was a great episode. So this was before I met Tony, and you guys were popping up all over Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge foodie, but I love to eat. Like, who doesn't love to eat, right?
Of course.
And I remember just being like, I don't know these guys, but they make me feel good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
And I swear. And I'm like, you know, I know a lot of people, like my best friend, Mike Pirelli, who I used to do the podcast with. Yep. He's got a food show too. I always listen to The Crunch and this and that, you know? So I get invested in it and I like it, but your sound and that tagline, I mean, I told you off air, but I'll share it now here with everybody else. I turned it into something with my daughter and it goes, you know what time it is? We back, baby. And it's nap time. And I put my 3-year-old daughter right to sleep.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's crazy.
I swear, man. So that's how I originally, like, you know, saw you guys and I just love the energy.
Appreciate it.
You know, the energy that you guys bring, to today's landscape, I think is important, you know, and that's what we do here on No Snooze.
No, 100%.
It's a, you know, impactful thing. It's a positive thing. Mm-hmm. And I really like what you guys are doing.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man.
I really do. You know, Snack Time is an interesting thing, right? It kind of has turned into its own entity in a sense, but everything always leads back to Why Not You and Why Not You Media and to Nikki's business, Iconic Lash Lounge. An iconic beauty suites, which they just started, him and his wife, opening up, you know, these suites for other beauty owners to have a space for their business. But yeah, I'll dive into Snack Time. I'll give you the whole background.
Yeah, well, I guess I think the interesting side of I'm always looking at the business angle of things,
of
right?
Of course.
And I think for you guys, what you guys try to do is obviously create these collaborations and these partnerships, but you provide the value to these small businesses in Westchester County, where we're all from.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful thing, man, because, you know, a lot of businesses, they they struggle.
They do.
So when you take your expertise in digital marketing mm-hmm. and this space, and now you're highlighting, mm-hmm. and you probably get to eat for free, so that's fire.
We try to pay for everything.
do you really?
Yeah, we do. So a big thing for Nikki and I is if we come in, we let the owner know that like we want to pay for our food. They refuse to take our money, right. but we will then tip. We will leave some type of monetary gain for yep. their employees or for them, because we didn't get into this for free food. It just now has turned into that because business owners are reaching out to us. So it's great. Like, yeah, you know, free food is great, but it's not about that.
Right.
It's really not. Snack time, you know, like I was saying, it's one of those things that happened so accidentally. So 2 years ago, about 2 years ago when Reels first came out on Instagram, I was actually at Nikki's apartment in Stamford. I was with my girlfriend, Nikki, and his wife. And Reels just came out. And I was just like, you know what? I don't want to do the same old thing. And this is when I had my old Instagram before someone tried hacking it and I had to make a whole new page. I won't get into all that. But I was like, you know what? Let me try something different. I picked up a bag of chips. They were called like the wrap snacks, the Migo ones.
Yep.
And it was like a dab of ranch, they called it. And I picked it up and I put the bag up with like this. And I had my phone and I don't know why, but I said, you know what time it is. It's snack time. Opened up the chips, ate it, did something funny, posted it, woke up the next day, had over 19,000 views.
Wow.
And I was just like, all right, maybe I have something with this. Kept doing it. And then eventually, like, lo and behold, I realized I'm really not a snack person. I'm really not. I like meals. If I'm going to eat, like, I don't want a bag of chips. I'm going to make like a peanut butter and jelly, or I'm going to make, you know, something like actual, like that's actually going to fill me up. Like, I'd rather cook a steak. So I stopped doing it. And I was just like, you know, it's too much. It became like its own job.
Yeah.
Fast forward. I start the new Instagram page, putting out marketing material, trying to build up the Instagram again. And my girlfriend goes, why don't you bring back snack time? Like, you know, all these restaurant owners, you know, like you can collaborate with all of them. Instagram just dropped the collaboration feature. And I was just like, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. Let's get more eyes, right? It's all about eyes, all about attention. And that's something that we could definitely dive into. And one of my first collabs was down at Casa della Mozzarella on Arthur Avenue. Yeah. It's
very
phenomenal.
Famous.
Yeah. Phenomenal product. So I go down there, I do it, you know, a little interview style. I was doing it a lot like the most bloggers do and foodies do. It did really well. It did like, you know, I think like 39,000, 40,000 views. I was like, this is really cool. Kept doing it. And then eventually I got to where I wanted to do Delgado's and Yonkers. Shout out to Delgado's and Yonkers. And Nikki put me on. And I said to Nikki, I was like, you have to do this snack time with me. We got to do the bacon, egg, and cheese. We got to do it. So he was like, all right, let's do it. We went in and as soon as it started, there was a whole different vibe. Like, he comes out the door, we're back, baby. It's snack time. Whatever, we review it, we eat it, we post it, and this thing went locally crazy.
Yep.
And the shares, the comments, the like Delgado's was like the family was so appreciative. They're like, thank you so much for putting us on the map. People reaching out, like, look what you're doing for Yonkers and for Westchester. And we were like, what? Like, this is just a video. Like, yeah. We didn't expect to do anything. And one day Nikki calls me, he's like, yo, what are your thoughts on doing snack time together? And I'm like, if you're down, I'm down. Let's do it. So we started going like in like hard on it and like really focusing on it in July. Since then, it's been about 6 months. We've accumulated over 17 million views now.
Oh, wow.
Through YouTube.
I think it's 10 over here.
Yeah, no, it's gone up. Yeah, it's gone up. You know, from between Instagram, TikTok and YouTube, it's gone crazy. And the attention that it's brought to these businesses, like, so, and for me and for Nikki, we get to meet these amazing business owners and small businesses. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it allows us to also test our marketing, you know, our marketing knowledge. You know, how can we work on our hooks, our delivery? How do we stretch our average watch time? Like, that's what Nikki and I are talking about all the time. It's like, all right, this video has 16 second average watch time. Why is it not 23? You know, and that's what we're trying to figure out. Like, what did we miss? Did we not hook people enough? Did the food not look good enough? Did we not have enough energy? Because the more I learn, the more I can deliver to my clients. Because at the end of the day, I own a digital marketing agency. That's what pays the bills, right?
Right. So,
and we don't charge for snack time. Like, we come in and it's all free.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not a dollar. Like,
one day that'll change.
Maybe. Honestly, we've had that conversation. And we started this to help small businesses. Like Nikki came up with a great idea that he wants to start a snack time fund one day. And that will allow us to, you know, have businesses reach out that maybe are struggling. And then we can work with them and campaign for like 3 months to raise money for them. We'd have to go through like a whole, you know, a whole system right. to make sure that the money is going to go to good use.
Yep.
But no, snack time, man, it's, we have so much fun doing it. But it really comes down to views and the comments and the like, they're great. They're metrics. They don't mean anything. But I live by this. Like, no one remembers you for the amount of likes, views, and comments you get. They remember you for how you make you feel. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing. Like, when we walk in and we speak to a business owner and they're smiling ear to ear because we're there, like, one woman legitimately almost cried. Like, when we walked in, she was like, you guys are here to review my food. She was a brand new business owner, never owned a business. We did 2 videos for her. I went in there one day just to check in. I wanted to get a cup of coffee. And she was like, we legitimately only sell the 2 sandwiches. Like, we sell other stuff, but the 2 sandwiches you guys reviewed go out like hotcakes.
Wow.
That's all I wanted to hear.
That's impact right there. That's right. That's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. No, I love what you guys are doing, man. Keep that up.
Appreciate it.
And man, just to let you know, that energy, though, is... I think it's what sets you guys apart.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a high energy dude. Mm-hmm. I try to always bring my best, even if, you know, that's me as a father, me in the workspace, me on the podcast, even when I'm not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So I could just tell you from me watching the videos, I'm like, these guys got the
energy. I really appreciate that, man.
All right. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention you took out a little dropper and you started dropping some stuff into your coffee.
Oh,
so you got, I'm big into the supplement game myself here. So I need to learn what was going on here.
All right. So what I put into my coffee here is what's called lion's mane. It's a mushroom. It's the extract. I got really big into the supplement game, you know,
like the beard. Like lion's mane?
No. Like it's a mushroom. Yeah. No.
It's like David got a haircut and it's in there, right?
I'm confused because I'm like, wait a minute, I got
took
a lion's
some of Dave's
mane right
beard
here.
And put it in there. Probably has magical powers. Yeah. But no, it's a supplement. It's, you know, organic mushroom, and it's supposed to help with focus, memory, and just immune system support.
Daily?
Daily. You could take it. So you could do a drop in the morning and then at night. So you could do up to 2 doses. I do 1 a day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes depending. It also helps with sleep. I've seen a big change in my sleep. But at the end of the day, you have to be consistent with it. It's not one of those things that you take. It's not like the limitless pill. Mm-hmm. You know, like this takes time.
If you find that pill, let me get that. Need that thing.
But yeah, that's what I put into it. I got big into supplements. Tony and I got into it at the same time. We had a client, I don't know if you remember the supermodel Carol Alt, back in the day. She was like a huge supermodel back in like the 80s. And she was one of our clients. We were creating content for her and, you know, helping her with her marketing strategy because she still wanted to be in the game of modeling. And she one day went down this and the connect to her, this guy, Theo, went down this rabbit hole of supplements. And we were like, wait. Tell us more.
Yeah, give me more.
So we were talking about greens and brain supplements. And the biggest thing, I think a lot as human beings, we always remember like our organ health and, you know, our bodies and how we look. We forget about our brain. Everything starts with the brain. So that's what I put in there because I'm a huge advocate of just like brain health. There's more to that. But that's the
brain. Are you familiar with Jim Quick at all?
No.
Oh, man. You got to.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
brain
of course.
Doctor.
Yes.
He's the best.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I used to listen to his podcast and he puts out like little tips and tricks to help your mental prowess and stuff like that.
And onto the supplement game. I mean, so, you know, just sharing with people. So I'm huge into obviously my plant-based protein.
Yep.
I got Crohn's disease. So the way it digests is not good.
Yeah.
Creatine I take every day.
Mm-hmm.
I started to take probably 7 months ago now magnesium. In the glycinate form.
I've heard.
I thought it was glycinate, but I guess it's glycinate. I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce any of those
unless
things.
I went to Vitamin Shop and Homeboy played me. Because I said, can I have the glycinate? I mean, the glycinate. Wait, glycinate.
Glycinate.
Glycinate? No, glycinate. I said glycinate, maybe. I don't know. But then he said glycinate.
You were trying to glisten.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I was talking to him and he corrected me. But I've been reading so much about magnesium, right?
Dude, I see
and
it everywhere now.
When I tell you, this supplement changed the game for my sleeping routine.
Really?
I mean, I have a 3-year-old, right? So like, she's always sleeping next to me. She's kicking. And I'm waking up 100 times a night. The depth of my sleep now is incredible. Sometimes I wake up, I'm like, where am I? And literally 7 hours went by. And it's a direct correlation to the magnesium because it's the only thing that I added in. Really? So I encourage everybody to read up on the different forms of magnesium, but that glycinate form, incredible for sleep.
You're not the first person I've heard say that.
Yeah.
I have a question. So what? You said you sleep like nice.
Yes.
Isn't like a drowsy kind of thing? Like you're out?
Or no.
It's just a peaceful rest?
And I was listening to Gary Brecka, who's Dana White's personal doctor now. He's got this 10X health system, good stuff. Mm-hmm. He said it's only going to work on certain individuals, though, because if you're deficient in magnesium, when you pump your body with that magnesium, now it's going to work for you.
Okay.
So the good thing about mag is you'll know if it works or not within like 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. And then if it doesn't work for you, that means that your body is not deficient in it, which I love stuff like that. Yeah, like, you know how we just take things to take them? So this is like, all right, go buy it, invest in it. Mm-hmm. If it works, you're going to know it works. And if it doesn't work, then you're going to know.
Have you ever done one of those, have you ever gone and gotten like 16 vials of blood taken and they check your entire thing? Like your whole, like they basically tell you everything that's going on in your body?
Yes, but they never did it. I did my vitamin D. They gave me a lot of things.
We're all deficient in that in New York.
They gave me a lot of things, but I didn't check my magnesium for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't know. Because I was doing it more for my Crohn's disease.
Okay.
I'm sure it was in there, but I never knew that.
Now, did you have like difficulty just falling asleep, or when you were asleep, you just couldn't stay asleep?
I've always been a good sleeper, I think.
Okay.
Good sleeper, but I would wake up to pee twice. Right. Mm-hmm. And now that's down to like once now, which is great.
Yeah.
I stopped drinking water at like 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed when I even wake up to pee, I'm like, yo, what just happened? Like, I think my REM sleep is just incredible.
Do you feel like energized?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. And that's the biggest thing, though. It's like you're not waking up like drowsy.
Yes. And it's so, I've literally been meaning to get on this podcast and tell people, yo, buy magnesium. Whether you work out or not, I don't think that has to do with it, but your body's going to know if it's deficient or not in it.
Yeah.
And like they have expensive tests that you can take too for genetic stuff to kind of see the deficiency level. But a lot of people are deficient in it. So magnesium glycinate.
I got to tell you, I think I must be like proficient in magnesium because when I tell you I sleep like a rock. Like,
well, it's because it's snack time over there. That's why. Them chicken cutlets put you right to sleep, baby.
You know what's crazy? It's called the itis.
I'm the same way, though. It's crazy. Like, my girlfriend says it to me all the time. Like, she's like, I can have a cup of coffee at 9 o'clock at night, put my head down, and I'm out in 10 minutes.
Well, that's the Goomba in you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Give me an espresso before I go to sleep. I'm good.
I don't know what it is, though. Like you put down a blanket and a pillow right here, I'm knocking.
You know what it is?
I just need white noise.
You know what it is, though? Oh, I have, that's what I sleep with. But you know what it is?
What?
I think it's your output. Like throughout the day, it seems that you're a very high level, high energy person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I can relate to that because I go as soon as I wake up. I mean, I'm thanking God for all the glory the second I wake up.
Yep.
Some people who are not morning people, they're like, Dave, relax, bro. I'm not trying to hear your, you know, your sermons,
your affirmations.
All right, exactly. My 3-year-old, she literally walks to the she walks to the mirror and she's like, I'm Callie. I am kind, amazing, loving, independent.
God bless.
So our energy throughout the day just stays there. But then when it's time to crash. I think that's why you crash, right? Because you're so high level.
Yeah, and that's a good conversation. I think a lot of people, when they think of energy and like using your energy, they think physical energy, like from working out or walking around, they're picking things up. Like when you're making decisions all day and having the same conversation over and over and over and over, you're using so much energy, brain energy, and it tires you out. So it's like your brain is like fried at some point and you just lay down and knock out. I used to also have a problem sleeping back in the day. So like I used to lay down and I had like insomnia, you know, like my brain, I would be thinking about everything under the sun. And then eventually I did this reading years ago. I must have been like, I don't know, 18.
Like a tarot reading?
No, not a tarot reading. I did I was reading about sleep.
Oh, you were reading?
Yeah, I was reading about sleep. Yeah, sorry. And because when I want to learn something, like I'll go down rabbit holes. And I was learning about sleep and that you can actually train yourself, kind of like self-talk, like just how you have to have positive self-talk and change the narrative. I would have self-narrative and tell myself, all right, it's time for sleep. Let's relax the body, relax the mind. And it started to help me. And then I got into meditation, which I'm so inconsistent with it. But like then meditating also helped as well, just to kind of bring the body back down. Because like you said, when you're doing so many things, we're all high energy. Like, if sleep wasn't necessary, I don't think I personally would sleep, you know, but No, that magnesium thing. You're like probably the 10th person I've heard say this.
Get involved.
I'm going to get involved.
Talk to me about branding, right? And the importance of it. I know it's right up your alley. And again, I do this very selfishly at times on the podcast because I'm trying to learn here.
Yeah.
All right.
Of course.
So everything is about branding, right? You say mm-hmm. that a lot.
Yep.
Expand on it a little bit. Talk to us about the importance of creating a brand.
Yeah. So first off, this is something like I love brand. I love marketing. So like when I talk about this stuff and I get into it, it's like I can go on for hours.
So you want me to put my hand up when I think you're talking too much?
You might have to. You might have to, especially with the coffee and everything. Caffeine is like my stimulant. Brand just, I'll talk it from like a personal perspective mm-hmm. and like what it's done for myself and my business partners. I would not be sitting here if it weren't for brand, right? And I don't think people realize and understand the significance of that. So when we started doing this, like Tony was starting to build a brand 7 years ago, you know, he started building Instagram accounts and things like that. But when we started really diving into personal brand, the amount of opportunities that it has opened up is just insane. So something that we preach to our clients is brand creates what we call LILO. Longevity, influence, leverage, opportunity. It's easy to remember because Lilo and Stitch, right? So that's what we preach. And brand is not something, so I got a great question the other day. It was like, how do I understand my ROI on brand? To quantify brand is something that you feel. It's an actual feeling, meaning that when you go places, more people recognize you. You're having more conversations in your social media, you know, direct messages. You know, maybe your engagement increases. Maybe you're getting more deal flow. Like that is how you feel brand. And I think for businesses, in the world that we're in, and for individuals who own businesses, right? Because a lot of businesses just try to build the brand on their own with no face, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're trying to build a true brand that can truly connect to people, getting involved yourself, you want to be connected to your brand. Like it's the perfect example. You know, you see realtors all the time. I'll use this example. Mm-hmm. Like you have their John Smith page and then John Smith real estate page. Mm-hmm. Is real estate not a part of your personal life? It should be, there should be no disconnect. At the end of the day, like you need people knowing who you are. And brand will always outsell sales or selling. Sorry, brand will always outsell selling. But if you have brand and you sell, you're going to beat the person that just has a brand or is just selling because you're not selling anymore at that point. Your brand is selling for you. Like people are now reaching out to you and there's no conversation to be had. It's basically you're the guy or you're the company. I want to work with you. Who doesn't want that? But how do you do that? Mm-hmm. It's building brand. It's creating content. Content's the foundation. It's being outbound. It's networking, right? So we preach everything you do online, right? If you're going to create content, if you're going to engage with people, if you're going to do all these things, you have to do that offline as well. It's if I brought it up before the podcast, like if you look at the way, you know, Why Not You Media is structured, like Tony doesn't post as much content as I do, right? But he's in everyone's DMs, he's constantly engaging, and he's constantly networking. That's the only way he's built his brand, mm-hmm. right? I'm constantly creating content. I don't engage as much as I should, you know, full transparency. But if I can get myself to events and network and meet people, that's what I'm going to do. And when people take a step back and in today's world, you know, a lot of older business owners are like, well, I didn't grow up like this. We didn't need this, but you do today. Mm-hmm. It is today's world. Social media has completely, what's the word I'm looking for? It's even the playing field because you can get into any industry, start making content, start building brand, start, you know, just creating this foundation for yourself and actually start to chip away at people's market share. And they might not feel it right away, right? Maybe they own 60% of the market share, but then next year it's at 59.7. Mm-hmm. They might not think that's a big deal, but all of a sudden if it goes down to 58.5 the next year, they're going to be like, where the heck did 1.5% go? And that's you taking it because you're chipping at it with social media. It's attention, right? I'll take a Gary Vee quote. We're day trading attention. So for me, brand is is forever. Mm-hmm. That's the quote. Brand is forever, right? Everything that you do has to tie back to your brand. You know, if you're going to go out and you're going to go meet people or you're going to go for a drink, why aren't you wearing your brand? Like, no offense, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and Michael Kors is not paying you. They're not giving you a dollar. They don't care who you are. But the brand on your chest, the brand on your hat, the brand on your pants, the brand on your backpack, that's the thing that pays you. That's what's going to stir up conversation. Mm-hmm. So I think really what it comes down to kind of sum up what I'm saying, you got to live what it is that you're doing. Yeah. If you're not living it, how do you expect it to grow?
Well said. I think, you know, even from our perspective here with No Snooze, I guess what gets, and it's part of it, mm-hmm. you know, but building a brand with no monetary return seems tough.
So hard.
But to everybody, like, you know, we can tell you now, of course, we have business opportunities yep. that are coming, mm-hmm. you know, pretty frequently now.
Yep.
But we're really just starting to get there.
Yeah.
You know, 170 episodes in. But I think what we've done well is, you know, when people hear No Snooze and they know what we do, mm-hmm. the first thing you see in the morning is that snooze button.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people now associate, they'll text me, you know, they yeah. text me, they hit me up, yo, man, I can't get you out of my head. You know, just because of kind of just the word. And now mm-hmm. I guess because we live this lifestyle
yep.
and we've been doing it for 4 years.
Yep.
But it gets very intimidating at times because those negative thoughts and the limiting beliefs and the self-doubt, it creeps up and it's like, bro, what are you really doing? Like, yeah. are you doing anything?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I love this quote. Yeah. I love this quote. And we get asked a lot. So we do a lot of consulting. And a lot of people want to go from, we like to call it marketing 101, and they like to jump to AP class. Can't do it because everyone has a plan, but not many have the mindset to do it, right? You can, like, you got to think about it. In today's world, when you start putting yourself out there, and you probably dealt with this, both of you, when you start putting yourself out there, people are asking, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you doing this? You sound ridiculous. You don't know what you're talking about. What credibility? Like, all these negative things start coming towards you. Mm-hmm. So that's what holds up a lot of people. But when you talked about, like, limiting belief, it's when you break that and you kind of just start pushing through the noise and you all of a sudden are becoming something, and then all those people that were, like, bad-mouthing you, they all of a sudden want to come back, right? They're all of a sudden, they're like, hey, man, I love what you're doing. And to your point, you said people can't get you out of your head. What marketing really is penetrating people's psyche. That's what it is, well, I like right? that. It's you're penetrating people's psyche.
The big penetration, if you will.
No, it's the truth, though. You have to literally plant yourself in people's thought process. Like, you brought it up, you know, you know what time it is for your daughter, right? Yeah. We've penetrated your mind,
yes, right?
Absolutely. Because now 100%. It's, you know, and then like when people say, you know what time it is, just like that, you know what time, do you know what time it is? Like it's
start asking people,
you
know what time it is?
Exactly. And if people have seen it, they're going to think snack time, right? It's the same thing with Tony does with cigars. Like he puts out all the cigar content because now when you're in a cigar lounge and you don't know what cigar to get, or you're in a certain, you're going to think Tony Peck, mm-hmm. right? This is not like, we're like mad scientists, right? Like people are like, oh, what are these people doing? But then as you see it grow, they're like, now I get it.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing. Like I said before the podcast, like Giovanni says, how you doing in all his videos? Because now when someone says, how you doing? Yeah. They're going to think Giovanni and Gianardelli. Like it's to some people, it's annoying, but it's like, we've literally planted and bought real estate in your mind.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do. Because when people go to think about food, you know, it's like the toothpaste analogy. I'm all over the place, but like it's a toothpaste analogy. If I said to you both, name three toothpastes, you're probably going to say two.
Colgate.
And Crest.
Crest, Trident. That's pretty much it.
But most people can't get past the first two.
Yeah.
The name of the game in marketing is
Sensodyne.
He knows his toothpaste.
The big toothpaste. Yeah.
You have to become one or two.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game for mm-hmm. marketing. Right? You have to become one or two. So when people think of your industry, you're either first place or second place. And if first place can't get it done, you're next up.
Right.
Right. Or you could take that first place spot inside their mind. Mm-hmm. Just takes time. And that's the part that people don't want to put in. People want short-term gratification. You know, they see you've done this podcast. Oh, he's done, you know, 170 episodes, whatever it is. Oh, that's not that hard. Try it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to look ready to kind of try it. I want you to start a podcast. The average podcast does not get past three episodes.
Yes.
He's in this podcast that we're sitting on right now is in the one percentile.
Yes.
Start a podcast. I want to see you do 170 episodes. I will put my money on it. You won't get past three. That's
or maybe you'll get three, maybe you get 10, but I gotta be honest, it's a lot. And then when you know you have partners, it's like you guys got to get your schedules together. But then it became a point, so I could be very robotic with my consistency, and mm-hmm. it's one of my Claudio's like yeah. and it could be a little pushy at yeah. times. But basically what I did is, you know, when you have to decide if you really like the idea of things versus of really wanting the thing.
Yeah.
So then when we made the transition to say, all right, let's do this, we put it on the calendar and that was it.
Oh yeah.
Done.
Same thing I do with snack time.
Done.
Saturdays. We post, we treat it like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
We post Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays. Sometimes we mix other things in between. I'll post something different. Nikki will post something different. But you have to, like, everyone's consistent doing something.
Right.
I put this on my story yesterday. Everyone is consistent doing something. You have people, I'll use the gym analogy. Some people are consistent going to the gym every day.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are consistently not going to the gym every day. They're consistent.
You're consistent.
They're just consistently doing the wrong thing. But now if you change what you're consistent at, you're going to see your life change. So it's the same thing that we preach to people when it comes to creating content and building a brand. You're consistently not doing it. So you are consistent. You have that muscle of doing something consistently. Mm-hmm. But now if we could switch your mind to doing the right thing consistently and over the period of time, like if you've not posted content for, let's say, 5 years, but we can get you to change that and consistently do it for 5 years, let's see where you're at in 5 years when we talk again.
Mm.
So everyone's consistent,
mm-hmm.
just not consistent in the right thing.
We have our ACE Summit coming up. Action Cultivates Excellence. It's a men's personal and professional development summit. It's a 3-day experience, February 16th to 18th. New Paltz, New York, and we're inviting 25 men who are looking to level up their lives. We'll be doing guided cold plunges, leadership training, breath work, group workouts, expert-led workshops, and a keynote from the Yankee legend, Joe Girardi. There's something to be said about surrounding yourself with 25 like-minded men. This is about building a community, fellowship, and a brotherhood. So whether you're looking to grow in business, your fitness, your relationships, or simply develop new lifestyle habits, this retreat is for you. It doesn't matter if you've made mistakes in the past or you haven't been able to commit or you're telling yourself you're not worthy. Let me tell you this. This is a new year. 2024, you are worthy. You're supposed to be here. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself. We all have a thought of what being a man in today's society is. And yes, it's a strong provider and a protector, but real strength lies in vulnerability. We're looking to bridge the gap between masculinity and vulnerability and bring out the absolute best in each and every one of you. AceSanctuary.com for tickets. We will see you there. I'm going to switch gears.
Yeah, of course.
And 2023 seemed to be a very tough year for you, actually. Right?
Yeah.
You lost your mom, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry for your loss, my
Thank
brother.
Thank you.
In the beginning of 2023?
Yeah, January 26th.
From glioblastoma. Which is the deadliest
brain cancer, yeah.
form of brain cancer, right?
Yeah.
But you've now taken the why not you, like, mentality.
Oh, yeah.
And the slogan, and you've applied this now to basically become fuel for your fire.
Oh,
losing
yeah.
your mom had to be the toughest thing. Can you talk to
yeah,
us about
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. So it's crazy. Like, I have Why Not You tatted on my wrist, right? My mom actually named the company. So when we first wanted to start the company, so that you have some context, we wanted to be an event company. We wanted to run positive mindset events. We wanted people to come on, like people like yourself, even like who'd come on and just speak positivity. There's no selling. It's just mindset. It's giving people actual tangible things, right? Mm-hmm. Think like a Tony Robbins type thing.
Yep.
And we said to ourselves, well, how can we afford this? We're 3 24-year-old kids. How the heck are we going to afford it? We have no money. And then we decided to shift gears and do a media company because Tony was building the brand. I was like, we could teach people how to do this. And then, like, I got into the world of content because for 4 years I was a professional stunt performer. So I fell in love with the camera and creating content and choreography for scenes for television and movies. But one day we were sitting in Doc James Cigar Lounge and I just blurted out, why not you? I was like, my mom's been saying that to me since I was little. Why can't you become the next big thing? They fell in love with it. We dropped the W and the H and it became Why Not You? And then Why Not You Media? But yeah, losing my mom you know, so the last 7 years, I lost my Nana in 2016. I lost my grandmother 2 years ago, and I lost my mom this year, all from cancer. Three of the most impactful people in my life by far. My mom, obviously, being the hardest one because that was my best friend. You know, I watched her literally work, you know, 3 to 4 jobs. If I get emotional, I'm sorry.
No, work,
you know, 3 to 4 jobs and did everything for me. Like, pfft.
And you're
I'm an only child. I'm an only child. Wow. So like
the relationship was probably just,
so,
you
know, my best friends. So I have a core best friends that I've known each of them for 20 plus years. And they always say to me, they're like, we can never understand your relationship with your mom because we used to argue like brother and sister, like literally go back and forth. But like, she was my rock and I was hers. And, you know, when she got diagnosed in December of 20, well, she passed away this year, but she lived a year. Okay. I'm not going to be able to do the math right now, but so all 2022, mm-hmm. you know, she had cancer. And
how did this get diagnosed? Like how?
Yeah.
Were there signs? Did this just come about?
Yeah. So glioblastoma is one of those things that I think, don't quote me on this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think on average, only about 12,000 plus people are diagnosed a year. That's very,
very
rare.
Very rare.
Yeah. Right. So the funding isn't really like there for the research. Thankfully, my mom's brother, Keith, is a legitimate scientist. He's wow. He went to Harvard Med, so we had someone on our team that yeah. could speak doctor language, I like to call it, because it really is a whole different language. But basically what happened was we were all home with COVID, and my mom suffers from migraines, and she got a migraine. And we thought, you know, normal routine, she takes her medication, she goes to bed, she'll feel better, you know, whatever. Wasn't going away. All of a sudden, her vision in her left peripheral started going black. Like, she couldn't, like, literally couldn't see. And I was just like, Mom, you got to go see a doctor. Like, what are you waiting for? Goes to the eye doctor. Eye doctor says, this is not your eyes. This is neurological. You need to go to the hospital, like, now. Calls our primary doctor. He goes, get over to Greenwich Hospital immediately. Goes to Greenwich Hospital, gets a brain scan, gets an MRI. And I'll never forget this. It was probably like 10:15 at night. My girlfriend's over. I'm walking out of the bathroom and I see a text. I have a brain tumor. And I'm like, what? Like
I
my
the chills,
bro. Oh, my, like yeah. my whole, like every bit of energy, like my skin went from white to pale. Okay. And my girlfriend's like, what happened? I told her, she's like, no, it's maybe it's benign. Maybe it's nothing serious. So the doctor there, the neurosurgeon there was like, we've seen this before. It looks like glioblastoma. So immediately start doing the research, doing the wrong thing. Please, people, never Google stuff. Like, talk to a doctor because you're going to drive yourself crazy. She gets diagnosed and they were like, we need to do surgery. They were like, you gotta get in there and get this out. Mm-hmm. And it was small at the time. It was the size of like a grape. So they called it really early. And she eventually, we got a surgeon down at Columbia Presbyterian. I'm not going to use his name, but excuse me. She gets surgery, successful surgery. They get it out. My mom, you know, in recovery, like, you know, going through chemo, going through treatment. But my mom was like back in the gym. She was like boxing again. Like she was like my mom, you know, she was, you know, crushing it. And then the thing with this cancer is that long-term survival is like you have a less than 3% chance. Wow. And long-term survival for this cancer is 3 years.
Oof.
So, you know, I obviously, you know, I mentioned before, my buddy Frank D'Agostino talked to my mom. I was like, Mom, let's do everything possible. My mom drove down to Duke to see the number one specialist literally in the world, considered in the world mm-hmm. for this cancer. He said, look, you can come here. He goes, I have no problem with that. Like, I'll take you on as a patient. But if you want to stay in New York, I'm going to refer you to somebody in New York that I work closely with. So my mom was like, let's do the New York one. Went down to Sloan Kettering. And, you know, she started her treatments. And then eventually what happened is that things were looking good, right? And you have to get very lucky. This is what my uncle Keith used to say. He's like, Fran, there is nothing that could actually eliminate this cancer. you have to get lucky. And, you know, I was in every support group, reading Facebook message, like everything, just trying to learn more.
And trying to be strong for mom at the time, which is probably so hard to do.
Oh, yeah. And family visiting, friends over every day. And then eventually what happened was she was boxing with her, one of her closest.
She was boxing with brain cancer?
Yeah, not like sparring, but like hitting the bag.
Like, mom's different,
yeah,
dude.
Because, well, yeah.
She's a resilient woman right there.
Yeah, my stepdad is a former world champion fighter. So, oh, wow. Like, yeah. Wow. So they would go to the boxing gym and she'd hit the bag because she just wanted to feel like herself. And one day she comes home, I'm coming downstairs and my mom was like, you know, throwing up. And Michelle's like, yeah, she's throwing up. It was like 102 degrees that day. It was ridiculously hot. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's the heat, you know, maybe it's just the heat because of the medications. Went for another brain scan. They found that it basically spread. It spread to her cerebellum, which then starts, I think it controls like motor skills and things like that. And that's when we started to see a decline. She really declined in probably November. So, like, you know, around the Thanksgiving time, like blank stares. She knew, you know, she was there, you know, but it was, that's when it really started getting bad. And that was the toughest thing in the world, you know. Yeah, that was tough.
Listen, man.
No.
I mean, no.
Yeah.
I mean, you being able to just share this story is incredible to do, man. You got a lot of strength, and I know I could just tell, and I feel it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel it in my bones for
you.
I appreciate
it.
And you do an incredible job of, you know, living through her.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, when we saw her decline, I was out to, when she finally passed. I got a phone call from my stepbrother. He's like, you got to come home. You know, and I walked in and, you know, she had gone to a better place. And, you know, first reaction is like that first feeling was crazy. I was like, picture every emotion or like just exploding at once. Yeah. And I just didn't know what to feel. Obviously, I had to tell friends and family and all that stuff. And then, you know, my mom was, you know, my mom's family is Jewish. So we had it at Westchester Reformed Temple. And when I tell you, I did not, like, you would have thought a celebrity died. Like, this place was standing room only. Like,
beautiful tribute.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was insane. And, like, you know, I did the eulogy, my uncle spoke, and then I spoke, and, you know, we went to the burial afterwards, and everyone asked me, like, I didn't shed a tear, like, not one. Like, I had moments where I felt myself wanting to cry, but for some reason, like, with how my mom raised me, like, she always used to, you know, say to me, like, and I don't know, can we curse on this?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, she used to always say to me, like, don't be a bitch. Like literally she would be like, that's what she would say to me. She would be like, you keep going, you know, no matter what. And to this day, like, that just empowers me. Mm. You know, like, when I don't want to get up, when I don't want to do stuff, that just, like, it's like her voice is in my head. Mm. And, like, I wear her engagement ring around my neck, along with my Nana and my grandma's ring and then a pendant that my father grew up wearing, and I wear it every day, you know, and I feel she's here. I feel she's guiding me. I feel she's up there with, you know, my grandparents, my grandmas. But yeah, like, and she was only 57. So, like, she has so much more life to live. And, you know, I sometimes take a step back and I'm just like, you know, everyone asks the question, like, why, you know, like, why this? And I try to just find silver lining in everything. You know, it's brought me, my father and I are a lot closer. We always were close, you know, but now, like, we talk every day. Mm-hmm. He always checks in on me. My family kind of, like, lets me do my thing, but, you know, I hear it all the time. They're like, dude, like, how do you keep going? I go, because that's what my mom wants.
Right.
You know, like, what am I supposed to do?
That's what she instilled in you. So now you don't know anything different.
She never, like, dude, if we went into, like, what my mom went through, dude, like, it like, for what my mom went through from dealing with my father when they were, you know, before I was born, to then her, you know, at the time, the love of her life, like committing suicide and all like this. Just when I go through her timeline, I'm like, if this woman never broke, I can't break. Like, you can bend, but you can't break. So that's just, you know, that just drives me. Wow. And my dream has always been to, I always told her, I was like, I'm going to retire you. Like, that's my, because my mom was a teacher. And I still say it to this day. I still say it to my girlfriend. I say, I'm still, even though she's not here, like, one day I'm going to go to the cemetery with a check. And I'm going to put it there.
Wow, man, that's beautiful. And honestly, thank you. Thank you for sharing this, man. And I know it's hard. I saw that mom was an educator, heavily involved in the community.
Oh, yeah, big time. Union leader, everything.
Is part of now your legacy and for her. Because it's ironic. Well, that, to me, I see signs, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, education, she's in the community. Now here you are building this entire community and making so many people and businesses thrive and feel good. Do you think there's a correlation there?
Absolutely. You know, I feel, you know, I said this on a podcast not that long ago, that I feel like one of the things I said, the last thing I said to my Nana before she passed away was, I'm going to do something amazing in my life. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to figure it out. And for the first time in my life, I'm starting, I think, to slowly figure that out. And I'm a religious guy. I believe in God. And, you know,
Are you, sorry to cut you off, but religious in terms of like you're in the church or whatever, or you just have a relationship with
God? Relationship with God. All right. Yeah. I'm not
spiritual.
Okay.
That's how I identify. Yeah, right. Yeah. So I'm curious to hear.
Yeah. So it's like I have a relationship with God. I'm spiritual. I believe in afterlife. I believe there's a lot of beliefs I have. I'm like a mix. Like if we got into that conversation, I'm like a mix between Catholicism and Judaism.
Okay.
Right.
My mom's Jewish. Dude, it's wild. My mom's Jewish, dad's Catholic, and I think I'm going the Christian route.
Yeah.
How wild is that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I have beliefs from both sides. Right. Yeah. But yeah, no, I definitely believe there's a correlation. I, for 100%, you know, and just like, for me, like my mom, just seeing what she meant to people, that is like, I was like, I want that.
Right.
Like, I want that. Like, I used to say when I was little, like I said to my mom, when I was like 15 or 16 years old, I was just like, you know, the day I die, I want thousands of people at my funeral. She was like, why? Because I want to make sure that I left the impact. Like, yeah, eventually, you know, people, you know, generations and generations and generations, maybe you're not talked about anymore. Thankfully, we do have content and social media today, so people will always be able to watch you. So it kind of changes your mindset when you look at, you know, creating content and social media that way. But yeah, absolutely, there's a correlation. You know, that's all I want to do. I want to impact people. I want to make people smile. I want to make people happy. I want to make people money. You know, like I want to change people's lives. I want to just be able to be someone that's a resource to others, you know? You know, and I'm a lot like my mom, where like she's had the same core friends for like 40 years. Like my best friends, all, I think now we're going on 20 years of friendship, you know? And you don't hear that very often, but like my six best friends, it's all 20 years. But yeah, no, dude, like my mom has become the moving force. And I think she's like a bit of a moving force for our company. I think,
you know, Tony mentioned her on his episode as well.
Yeah, no, I believe it. And it's one of those things, like, it's wild. And I don't know if Tony went into this on the episode, but like when his grandma died. So we have this, for some reason, the cricket is super symbolic to us. And because when we first started the company, we were in Doc James and a cricket hopped up onto the laptop in a cigar lounge and it didn't move. Did not move. Took it with us, put it outside. I'm like, that's weird. Then we had a huge meeting one day and I saw two crickets on my windshield. Swear. I go, and his grandma had just passed a week before. I was like, and I sent them a photo. I'm like, this is unreal. And they were like, that's crazy. Like, what's going, you know, because Tony and I have, and Michael, we all have that same similar belief in that. And then our business completely 180'd. And then every time we see a cricket, there's this change in our business, change in our lives. It's almost like, hey, heads up, you guys are moving in the right direction, but get ready for a change. And the amount of times, he might have talked about this, the amount of times we've pivoted is just crazy. The changing our business model, who we want to go after, what's our niche, what do we want to be known for, how do we want to run these networking events, the golf outing, like all these different things, just, you know, play a part. You know, where I truly believe that God and something, like I say to Tony and Mike all the time, I'm like, we've met because of divine intervention. That's my true, honest belief.
I'm a huge, huge believer in that, man. That cricket story is serious. Yeah, things like that just don't happen. No. You know, that's a fact.
Yeah.
So you casually mentioned something. And I did my own research.
Yeah.
But you credit your passion for content creation to the stunt world.
Yes. 100%.
God, we gotta go there.
Oh yeah.
So you worked alongside some big time people, TV shows, movies. I'm not a movie guy. I can't really like, you know, name, you know, maybe two of them. Getting better though. And short films too, right?
Yeah.
So like talk to me about what you did in that space and how content became like
Once again, my mom introduced me to the stunt world.
Was that a depiction of how you were as a child though? Were you like just all over the place?
No, so my mom, okay, so my whole life I was an athlete. I played college football. My mom always said to me, you could play a professional sport. You know, like I had a dream, obviously, like any kid playing football or playing any sport is like I wanted to play in the NFL, the MLB. And when I graduated college, I ended up breaking my leg really bad. And my mom was like, well, why don't you look into when you get healthy again? Like, I would love for you to come to stunt class. Like, you're such an athlete. This could be open up a whole world to you. And I was like, I don't know, Ma. Like, I don't want to, like, I just broke my leg. I don't want to get into stunts and break something else.
She was in stunt class?
So she was doing it because my mom was the type of person that, like, she loved trying new stuff. Just loved trying new things. And she had a good relationship with a guy named Chaz Menendez, who's like a staple in the stunt community. And he's from New Rochelle. And my dad actually knew him. So when the guy found out Fran Volpe was my dad, he was like, what? Like all these connections. So I got healthy and I went to class. He pulls my mom aside. He goes, this kid has a future in this. Tell him to keep going. So I was like, screw it. You know, like at the time I was studying to become a loan officer. I was going to work for my cousin. But I was doing the stunt stuff as well. And the stunt stuff, within 6 months, I got my SAG card. You know, I got asked to do a stunt for a show called Graves.
What kind of stunts are we talking about, dude? Because if these people, I look good, but if they ask me to do these stunts and I got to roll and jump and this and that, I'm actually going to break something on set.
So it was, I did primarily fight scenes, falls, and gun scenes, right? So I was lucky enough to train with some very skilled individuals in their shell. And I trained with black belts in jiu-jitsu, black belts of taekwondo, karate, mixed martial artists, Krav Maga specialists, like just every like armories, cops, police officers, former, you know, Marines. And I got to learn all this stuff. So I stayed in that world. Like I was more of like, it worked perfectly because in New York, everything they shoot is like street, you know? So I got to work on the show Power. I got to work on Wu-Tang Clan and like
Power. You were on Power?
Yeah. It was a very, very small scene.
That's very cool.
If you've watched the show, remember when they try killing, I think it's Dre in the basement.
Yes. That's
so I'm in that, shoot, like that shootout.
Wow.
Very small scene, but like that took 5 hours of rehearsal. But no, I'm not sitting here. It's not to boast, but you know, cause I basically, once Why Not You Media got too busy, I had to walk away. And I had that conversation with my mentor. He's like, no, you're doing it right. Like this is for some people, like this, it's so volatile to make a real living. Mm-hmm. You got to be in it for so long. And one day I always talk about like going back, but long story short, doing and being involved with the fight choreography and behind camera, in front of camera, I was just like, yo, I'm good at this, you know, like I love this stuff. So I started taking what I was learning from all these individuals. And I was just like, how can I implement this into our media company? How can I implement this into what we're doing and building brands and creating content? And it kind of just completely changed my entire view on content. And I saw it more of just something that we watch to art. And obviously our business has changed and content on social media has changed, but like I still have dreams of like, you know, wanting to direct music videos and things like that. Like I sometimes I'm driving my car and I come up with these crazy ideas and can't execute them right now, but they're there and one day I will. But the stunt world, just being around creatives and artists, I'm talking like these stunt performers, and like this is a huge shout out to the stunt community. Like they're not just perform, they are artists, like true, true artists. Like if you see, like if you went to these trainings and could see what some of these people can do with their bodies, I'm like, you're incredible. Like, and what goes into creating that entertainment for us viewers, it's insane.
And for a 2-minute clip.
It could be 15 seconds, yeah. Like learning how to fall, how to hold the gun, how to fight. Like you watch all these action movies, you know, like Fast and Furious, and like that's all stunt people. And I met the whole crew that worked on Fast and Furious. Wow. Like these guys could take a car and like, it don't matter what the car is, they take some brakes out and this thing's flying, moving, turning, twisting. It's art. And just, I just fell so in love with that world. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of, you know, in the time being, like, you know, Tony used to use that when we met people, like, you know, Fran's worked on, you know, been on movie sets and television sets. So this is his world and I can get so into it, mm-hmm. but our landscape has changed, you know, we're producing podcasts now and educational content. And I take that though to what we do snack times from mm-hmm. camera angles and energy and moving things off frame and the cuts, like it all ties together.
Yeah. So you're pretty unique in this space because with the stunt world, you're obviously in front of the camera, but yeah. Now for Why Not You Media and for a lot of your content in general, you're behind the camera and yeah. then also creating and marketing that content.
Yeah.
How'd that happen? Like you have a lot of skills, my brother.
I appreciate that.
There's a lot going on here, yeah. man.
So I've been blessed to have a phenomenal content team, you know, shout out to Nate and Steve, you know, shout out even to, you know, Mark, shout out to Galpy, shout out to, you know, Antonio, guys that have worked with us in the past, but our staple two guys right now are Steve and Nate.
When you said Mark, what's his last name?
Supic.
That's who, yeah, we just connected through Vincent.
Michelli. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, he shoots Vin's mm-hmm. content. But, yeah, Mark was with us in the beginning, you know, and then he found his niche and now he's in the world of fitness and that's what he loves. And shout out, glad mm-hmm. he's doing, you know, amazing things in that field. But right now our staples are this individual, Steve and Nate. We call him Nate the Great and Stevie Lenses, right? That's.
I think one of them used to go to Level Fitness up in Yorktown.
100 Steve, big fro.
Hair, yeah.
Dude, all right, Steve is the man though. That man can literally turn anything into a cinematic, like emotional piece, I swear. Like he could, like, you could sit in a chair and somehow he'll make people cry. Like it's crazy. And then Nate is just like his ability to edit and just like put things together. Like sometimes we've given him things, I'm like, yo, you gotta make something out of this. And he's like, all right, give me a few hours. And he just comes back. And I'm like, yo, bravo, dude. Like, this is amazing. So I've been blessed with an amazing team, but we've been working with them for so long now that like they already know like what I'm thinking, you know, but we're a team. Like I'm behind camera. We're working on camera angles. Or maybe we need that shot. Let's get this shot. It's just a team aspect. And mm-hmm. I've gotten so good at like coaching. So that's a big thing. Like a lot of people want me there. And like Tony preaches this to people that like Fran's there to help you talk on camera because speaking on camera is not easy. Mm-hmm. So I'm there to help people with tonality, body language, things of that sort, because people don't realize like if I was just on the podcast talking like this the whole time, like no one's going to watch it. But now if I have energy and I change it's gonna hit, you know, people's you know, their neurons a little bit differently.
No, the content game is crazy, man. So like even when we just hooked up with Mark on this on Vincent's episode, obviously CV's equipment in here is top notch.
Oh, it's insane. This is incredible.
But then there's the long form content and then there's the social media strategy and stuff like that. The short form content. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which then I don't even know how Mark did what he did with making, you know, the long term into the short term, but with the angles and because I'm thinking when I'm not like I'm not involved in this.
No.
So I'm looking into this camera. I see this. I see that there. I don't know how you then make it move when it's just a stationary camera there.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. It's an art.
Yeah, it's psychology. It's figuring out what am I going? How can I get an individual to you're trying to stimulate their mind, right? It's zoom in effects, it's cuts, it's different angles, it's having things pop up on the screen because you really have to kind of dilate someone's pupils in and out, right? That's how you're really what you're doing. You have to make them, you know, if you think about it, like content's broken up, like short form content, even long form, right? Mm-hmm. You have integrating or I'm gonna forget the other word. It's like you're integrating your hooks or your I forget the other word right now. I'm losing it. But basically, when you're breaking down content, you have to have a hook, right? So is your hook something visual? Is it something that someone's saying? And then what's the body? Or you have to rehook people also, right? It's the same thing with long form. But it's all subjective at the end of the day. Right. Some of the biggest creators in the world, and I try to explain this to people, is some of the biggest creators in the world put a phone up like this and just talk to it.
Rogan. Yeah. Like, you look at Rogan's content, dude.
There's nothing special.
I mean, literally, yesterday he took a picture of, like, you know, just ants walking and kind of taking leaves and making an ant farm or whatever. And the video, I mean, it's all his stuff that he posts is basically from him and his cell phone.
Yeah.
But because he's Rogan, he's got this platform. Rogan. I mean,
but
it's
just
unbelievable.
Starting out. Yeah. Like, I try to explain that to people because everyone's like, oh, I need to go out and buy a camera. You don't, like, you don't need all this yet.
Right.
Eventually, you could get to this point. Yeah. Absolutely. But you have your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up and talk. We have a buddy of ours, client of ours, shout out Pat Haggerty. He's a financial advisor, and he has taken everything that we've told him and implemented it. He just had a video go viral talking about Social Security the other day. Guess what he did? He has a phone up and him walking and talking. That's it. There was no cuts. It was just subtitles.
Yeah.
But guess what? You have to start somewhere,
right?
So that's the biggest thing. And it's all subjective. I try to explain that to people all the time. Like, what you like and what I like and what he likes, it's three different things,
right?
So you have to just keep putting out content, volume, and see what hits.
And even when you don't want to do it, that's the hard part.
Yeah, that's the hardest part.
Yeah, it even cripples me sometimes. Even with the platform that we have now, if I'm in a mood, sometimes like, don't post it, it's stupid. And that still happens. I don't think that ever goes away.
No.
But now I'm just like, nope, I have to, because I use this this like slogan in my head that, like, if I don't post the content, then basically I'm telling you to go listen to another podcast.
I'm gonna take it further. Ready? So when you're not posting content, especially the type of content that you post, it's very motivational. Someone in that moment, I'm gonna change your mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in that moment needed or needs to see that video.
Mm.
They have to. Right? Like, there might be someone that is like, they don't know it, but they see your video and it changes their mind. That person can then take what it is that you said, implement it into their life, and change another person's life, or maybe even change the world, right? That is the level that you have to think when you're creating content. Like, you're actually able to change someone's life. Like, one of the best comments we've ever gotten. And, you know, and I appreciate you saying that, like, the snack time brings a smile to your face. And, you know, we had someone comment on YouTube once, and they said that their grandmother was probably not going to make it, and our videos are bringing a smile to his face.
Mm.
Like,
done.
Are you serious?
Made
like
it.
You don't know what you're doing for people. So when you start to change the mindset of your content to the impact, now your whole view changes. Your whole point of view changes. I tell realtors all the time, I'm like, you're not selling homes. You're selling memories. Do you understand that when you help someone buy a home and they get into that home and then they have a family and those kids have memories inside that home and then they come home after college and it's nostalgic. They're like, I'm home again. You did that. Like, do you I don't think people understand the trickle effect, the snowball effect that just helping someone.
Well, and
does.
It's also how you choose to think about this.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody listening to this can deny what you just said, especially, you know, like me, I'm a father. I live on a lake. Mike Pirelli was the real estate agent for my house. He's associated to every memory I have. And I'm literally just building memory after memory after memory
because
with
of him.
My daughter.
Because of him.
Yeah, with him. He's there.
Yeah. Like he actually put you in that home, found you the home, helped you buy the home, and now your daughter is going to grow up with memories inside the home because of him.
Right.
Right? So like when she goes off to college one day, you're going to have to be like, this is because of you, man. Like it's that crazy, but people don't want to think that far.
Right. Because you're almost like, well, am I exaggerating? Am I this and that? But no, you're not. You're not.
Like I think one of the greatest videos I've ever seen was Gary Vee's video, and it should have been his most viral video. He had a woman come up to him and say, because of you, I didn't kill myself.
Mm.
Imagine one day, and it will happen, someone might say that to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because of your post, I changed my life. I would take that a million times.
Yeah.
Like that's where I think there's a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you entertain somebody, you make someone laugh, you make them smile, you don't know what people are going through. So your content can completely change someone's entire day. Like, smile goes a long way, man.
It does.
And I think that's what I try to preach. That's what Tony tries to preach. That's what Michael tries to preach. It's like, stop thinking like here. Right. Think here. Mm-hmm. And that changes your whole view on brand.
It does. I guess for somebody who's in the content space or wants to be in the content space, mm-hmm. right? Because like, if you're not there, you got to get there.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to do anything in business, I mean, you have to be posting content.
Yeah.
But a lot of people struggle. And like, even with us, people think that like I'm behind Instagram, right? And all I do is I'm going to be honest with you. And you're going to probably cringe at this. He cringes a little bit. So he takes really good video.
Yeah, does.
I screen record.
Oh God.
Off of YouTube.
Oh God.
Put it into an app, add a caption, put some music, and post. And because we're in the algorithm, it works.
Mm-hmm.
But like even me, I don't have, and I've had individuals, we've had a couple high school students reach out and like want to be interns, but like I need somebody consistent. Like yes. I can't just bring you on as an intern and then like you're going to be fugazi with us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I kind of just do it myself.
But better than nothing.
It is. But for somebody, I guess, are there certain apps for beginners?
Absolutely.
That like work and that like maybe you don't need to be the most tech-oriented individual? Like what? Can you share something?
So the perfect app, and I tell us that every, like, CapCut.
On a phone?
On a phone. CapCut. If you don't have CapCut, download it. Pay for the pro. It's like $75 for the year. It gives you the ability to do everything you need. From cutting to transitions to subtitles to anything, animations, anything you want. It's simple, it's easy, and it's really dummy proof. And the best part about it, there are thousands of videos on YouTube on how to utilize it.
Right.
That's where I honestly edit every single snack time is edit on CapCut.
On your phone?
Or you do either on my phone or the computer. So it depends. If I'm on the move, I do it on my phone.
But so you take the video with professional cameras.
Yeah, the video's taken on a camera.
Gotcha.
Put into a memory card.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on the go, like if Nikki and
really
I are on the go.
Really dumbing this down, but yeah. I need it. This
no,
is funny. Good.
We take the memory card. Yeah. We put it into a Apple. What's it called?
Dongle.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. And
dongle.
A dongle.
A dongle. What is that?
I don't know.
It's an adapter.
Adapter. Oh, there you go. That's the word I want. Adapter.
You dongle.
Put it into a dongle. put an adapter in, and then you put the memory card in, and then it literally, I pull up the files onto my phone, save it on my phone, put in the CapCut, boom, 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 and I start editing.
So the first step for me is I would have to buy a laptop. Yeah. I have an iPad.
Yeah.
But
you could use your phone.
Right.
Like, you can literally do it right on your phone. And that's the thing. It's like, since he has the files, the easiest thing. So like, if you want to make it even easier for you, and this is a trick. You could timestamp it yourself and find an editor and send him the podcast and say, hey, here are the timestamps that we want chopped up into 9x16 shorts or reels and just put subtitles. Like you could do that too, right?
Well, and I know a guy. Yeah. I know a good guy like you that can connect.
I don't think that's gonna work. Well, I don't think that's gonna work because there's a problem you haven't encountered yet.
What?
That's Dave's impatience. So.
Oh, you want it now?
No, but like within 15 minutes, bro. No. No, I'm serious. Maybe we need to talk off camera on some, because even like the ideal situation for us right now is I want somebody to come in and like, I like partnerships, you know? But I also need somebody to prove themselves.
Of
like,
course.
You know what I'm saying? Like we've taken gambles on a couple people that like just really don't pan out. So maybe we need to connect on getting somebody for stuff like this.
The thing is though, I got to give you a lot of credit. The fact that you're just doing anything, because most people don't do shit. So the fact that you're even like taking a video and putting out, and even though you're screen recording it, like the quality's there. Like, look, excuse me, Instagram, and social media, besides like YouTube, drops everything to 1080p.
Right.
So like, even if you're shooting this in 4K, like the quality is going to drop when you post. But just be like, you should be proud and happy that you're doing anything.
Yeah.
Because what happens is that this podcast is amazing. Long form, you put it on YouTube, you get people to watch, it's phenomenal. But then how do you drive additional engagement? It's through the short form,
right?
It's people need to digest it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
They watch it. And then maybe if they're like, you know what, I want to watch more, that drives them to the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see social media as a funnel. and you have to drive attention to where you want. But short form content from this long form, like if you went through all your episodes, dude, I can only imagine. And one day you'll get to that point. Like you have to see, like these guys like Alex Ramosi, they're spending like tons of money on the media teams. It's insane. But like they go through, like if you took all 170 of your episodes and said to somebody, hey, like
I want content for a year.
More than a year. Like, dude, you're going to have content for the rest of your life. Yeah, you know, true. Like literally, like if you take just on average, if you take freaking 10 clips from each episode, you're over, it's over 1,000 clips,
right?
You know? So you're posting, you could double, you could post three times a day. But yeah, it's, you have to just, it's a muscle you have to train, you know, that's the biggest thing. And that's something that like we're working on, you know, like I used to do that for our own podcast, but even for Snack Time, like I try to find like little funny clips that I can utilize. Like I have a funny one, like I'll watch it through and be like, oh, that'd be a great clip for YouTube or for TikTok.
Yep.
You know, so it's just training a muscle.
You know, what's hard too is evaluating your own content. Cause like something that I think that I said that might be so profound to somebody, I noticed that myself, I'm like, I sound dumb. You know, and that's subjective. The 100%. But you're your biggest critic. And that's why now I'm like, F it. Post. Get out of here.
I live
and
by
then I won't even open the shit ever again.
Mental. I don't blame you. I live by the 75% rule. Jay Shetty said this a while ago on a podcast or on a video on Instagram. He said that when something is 75% done, it's done. So for example, for content, if it's 75% done, just post it. Right. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to stare at it for hours, days, weeks, months,
fire,
and you're never going to post it.
Wow.
And guess what? There's no such thing as perfection. So they give you a perfect example. So like if you speak to Nikki and like the way Nikki does his things for his brand, like he's very meticulous. Like everything is super detailed, the way things line up. So I edit all our snack times. And like it's, and Nikki will be straight up about this. The reason why is because one, it's like, he's in a different world. So like, he's like building out a whole place right now, but also it's like, I get it. Like it's, I just chop it up. Like yesterday I chopped up our video and that we posted and I sent it to him. He's like, yo, it looks great because it's about speed. Right. And as we do it, we get better and better. Like if you watched our snack times from like Delgado's to now, significantly different, but that only happens is because I'm doing so much of it.
Right.
So that's the only way to get better, you know, but it's all about like, I'm detailed, but like I get to a point where like if I stare at this thing anymore,
you're going to over critique.
I'm never going to post anything. Right. I say that to clients all the time. I'm like, scalability, right? Like if you wanted me to do what I do for snack time for you, you'd have to put me on full-time payroll because I would have to be staring at all your content over and over and over and over again. And all the clients understand that, right? Because I go through all our content, quality control everything, make sure everything looks good, quality's there, you know, subtitles make sense. And sometimes if things slip through the cracks, there's maybe one little misspelling, it happens, right? We're all human beings. But, you know, I make sure it's good. But we need to get our clients on a consistent posting schedule.
Right.
And like shout out to Roman. I don't know if you know Roman Vladimirsky. He's a great guy for you to speak to as well. Like he, after 3 years, he is so like he texts me every single day and will send me, hey, what do you think about this video? Like he's a cap cut like guy now. And like he'll shoot his own videos. He's like, what do you think of this hook? Like yesterday he sent me a video and I sent him like a paragraph back. He's like, I love you. He's like, you're really good at this. Like joking. I was just like, well, the better I get, the more I can help you. Because that's the game that we're in. It's like, you have to also learn to do it yourself. And we tell our clients, like, if you rely on only us to create your content, it's not scalable. You have to learn to do this yourself or hire someone full time. So that's the world we're in. Volume creates quality. And then eventually you get to quantity that is quality.
I like that.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening. Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening is an experienced teeth whitening salon where you can get up to 7 shades lighter with just a 60 or 90 minute session in a professional and relaxing setting. They offer the most superior product coupled with the highest quality of customer service available to get you instant results. Whether you have an important event to attend, such as a wedding, birthday, anniversary, interview, or you are just unhappy with the color of your teeth, this LED light technology helps whiten your teeth fast and easy. At Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening, they understand how important your smile is to you. And speaking from personal experience, you'll be guided by highly efficient staff in a relaxing environment to reach your desired shade. Let them know you're a friend of Dave's from the No Snooze podcast and connect with them at HudsonValleyTeethWhitening.com or on Instagram at HVTeethWhitening. Now, back to the epi.
Talk to me about your business partners a little bit. Okay. And as we kind of wrap up here, yep. But some people will say, you know, don't do business with your friends. Vin Mecelli, he's like, F that, do business with all your friends. Mm-hmm. I think real numbers for you guys, correct me if I'm wrong. When you started the company, $700 in a month.
That's what I made.
Right? And then 6 months later, you guys were six figures.
Yeah.
Talk about that. And I guess
the dynamic.
Yeah, the dynamic of how that is.
Yeah. So Tony, Michael, and I are three completely different people. Like, our goals are the same, where we want to go in life is the same, but like our personalities, like if you saw us sitting at a table together and talk, you'd be like, why are these three together? You know? So the dynamic. So Tony and I met in high school, went to Fordham Prep. Michael went to Salesian. You know, so they were best friends growing up. So Tony already knew who Michael was like. I've only known Michael going on 5 years. That's what mm-hmm. people don't realize. Like, you would think we've known each other our whole lives. But the way it works is that we each, and it took a while for us to figure this out, because we used to always overlap and be so intertwined in like what Tony was doing, what Michael was doing, what I was doing. Now it got to the point where like, we don't have to ask, are things done? Michael handles our entire back end. He handles our print side of the business. He works directly. If there's a website situation, he deals with that directly with our partner that builds out websites. So Michael's operations, and Tony then is like, we call him more of the front end of the business. Like, he's usually the first touch point. He's the sales, he networks, like he does his thing. Like, we let him, like we put him in a situation where he can thrive doing what he does best, right? And then you have me, who once Tony speaks to a client, unless you're a website, you have to speak to me. Like, you can't get around not speaking to me. So I have to talk to you either about the content, the marketing strategy. So like, our consulting, depending on where we're at, right? If we're getting involved in business development, Tony will speak more. If we're talking about systems and operations, Michael will speak more. If it's content strategy and marketing and funnel, I speak more. So it depends on what someone's coming to us for. But the three of us, like, we have immense love for each other. You know, we've also gotten to the point where like, we can hang out like friends. We can have a good time. Like, the other night, we're like wrapping presents for, you know, clients in the office, shooting the shit, joking, having fun. And then there's the business side of us, right? Like, I'd be lying if we haven't had arguments before. You know, it happens. But the one thing with us is we have short-term memory. So like, you know, when we first started the business, Michael was working still full-time. And Tony and I quit our jobs. He was in project management. I was working in mortgages, and we both quit. And it was him and I in an office every day, literally 13 to 14 hours a day, up until like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, just sending 200 to 400 messages a day, selling packages for $150 a month. I made $700 my first month because sales really wasn't my thing. It still isn't my thing. And then in 6 months, we did six figures. But in that time, we were with each other so much, literally from Monday through Sunday. And we got to learn about each other and what makes us tick and what type of people. And I tell Tony this all the time. I give him, you know, I give a lot of credit to him for helping change my mindset, because he developed that mindset younger than I did. But like, our dynamic just works. Like, I call us like a three-headed monster. Like, people always say, and I hear people that are by themselves, and you know, they're like, you guys are so lucky, you know, that you have three of you, because we work like right now, like Monday through Friday, we talk all day, every day. When Friday, like 6 p.m. hits, like, we might not talk until Sunday night, because it's kind of like a decompress, you know, because like, we're with each other and talking to each other so much, so often, that like, sometimes you need that separation. And we've learned, it's taken us years, though. It's taken us 4+ years, like going on 5 years, to understand that we need that. But we really, man, like, I love working with them. Like, I'm blessed. I tell them all the time, I'm like, there is no other people I would want to be doing this with, because the amount of support that they give me, the amount of support I give them, we're all proud of each other. We let each other do what we're good at. And, you know, and we don't make decisions without each other. You know, we're so involved in things that like, if something comes across our plate, it's never like I make a decision right there. It's like certain things, like Tony, like we give him the autonomy to just make a certain decision in a sales meeting. But if it's something that he's not comfortable with, like he always will, he'll say to them, I have to speak to my partners. Like I say that all the time. Mm-hmm. I never make a decision because like, I'm always like, let me speak to the guys because I have to know what they're thinking. So we just have this great dynamic and we're three different people. Like Michael will say it straight up. He's a nerd, you know, like he loves, like I love gaming, but he loves video games. He likes putting together like, you know, old vintage Nintendo pieces. Tony hasn't watched a sport in fucking, you know, like 8 years. But like, he loves to read, he loves business, he loves podcasts, he loves networking. And then you have me, like I love sitting back and, you know, my feet up and maybe watching the Jets lose, you know? You know, so we're just three different people that just have immense love for each other. And we just have the same goals and it just, but the fact that we're all different is what makes it work.
Yeah. You guys are killing it, man. Shout out
appreciate
to you,
it,
to you guys.
Thank you.
And Why Not You Media. Where do you want to, improve or get better in your life?
So that's a great question. I was just having this conversation with my girlfriend and, you know, shout out to Marlene. My girlfriend is, you know, I need to be better in certain ways because like since my mom passed, I felt myself regress. But she keeps pushing me to be better. But where I need to get better is a few things. And in full transparency, I need to get back to understanding consequential thought, meaning that when I say things or do things, there is a consequence, whether it's positive or negative. So I need to get back to what I like to call using system one rather than, I have to get back to using system two rather than system one. System one is emotional and emotional and when people impulsive decision making, where system two is logical thought. So there's a study that most criminals use more of their system one. There's no consequential thought. They're just acting, right? They're just on impulse. So I need to get back to logical thought, taking my time, taking a breath. I need to get back to understanding the importance of health. You know, like I'm a gym goer, I go to the gym, but it's kind of taken a bit of a back seat in regards to I get there. Like if I used to have routine, you know, where I'd wake up in the morning and go to the gym, but now it's gotten to the point where it's like, as long as I get there during the day, I'll get there. Right. So I have to get back to that. Mm-hmm. And also just, you know, I'm always trying to figure out like, how can I understand people better? Always working on EQ. Because it goes back to like when my mom passed and I see the way I reacted to it, where it's like, I just keep pushing. I expect people to whatever they're going through. It goes back to what my mom always said to me, stop being a bitch, like stop, like just fucking get through it. Like the world does not care. Keep going. But not everyone's like that. Mm-hmm. And I need to get a little bit more, empathetic
and, more human, I guess. At times, right? Because I could really relate to that.
Yeah.
But now that, you know, I have a daughter,
yes.
I have to understand like true empathy. And I think there's a different, and that's a word now that's like, I think oversaturated in today's society, yeah. Empathy, like, but having real empathy towards somebody is a real skill.
And gratefulness.
You know, and that's, yes. And
that's
and
a skill.
And well, like gratitude in general? Or
like being grateful is a skill. Like, I don't think, like, it's something hard, you know, to think, like, if you think about it, like, to wake up every day and be like, I'm grateful to be alive. Like, it's tough, you know, it's tough to think that. But I remember hearing this video once, this individual said, you know, if I said to you, give me your eyes, and you're most likely you're going to say no, and you're going to answer is going to be, and if I say why, you're going to say, well, I need them to see. I go, now you're practicing gratitude. Because if you didn't have them, it's like the old saying, you don't know what you have until you lose it, right? But that, as a human being, I think we do, and I personally, I have to be more grateful for what I have in my life and for those who are around me. We get so caught up in every day, man. It's like just 10 seconds of mindfulness can change that, you know? And I'm a big advocate of therapy. Like, I'm in therapy, you know? I believe in it. I know some people have, like, different views on it, but that's what makes us human, right? Like if we were all the same and thought the same, life would be pretty fucking boring.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's,
I love that.
That's the way I look at it.
Your emotional intelligence, man, is, is really up there.
I appreciate it.
You know, and I'm saying that because I will identify myself, for lack of better words, as an emotionally intelligent man. Mm-hmm. But it took me a long time to get here, dude. And now it's a lot of work to stay here.
It's so hard.
You know what I mean? Like every day it's work to stay here.
It's so easy. You know how easy it is to become negative?
Mm-hmm.
Like I have this conversation with people all the time. I go, it is so difficult. Like, you ever hear this from people? They're like, yo, dude, you're so positive all the time. Like,
and then there's this this term, toxic positivity.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Yeah, toxic positivity.
Where, is that just like another word for optimism?
No, because it's basically where you're too positive, I guess. I swear. But it's a real thing. Like, even really? Talk to your therapist about it. Yeah, it's a studied thing, too, that can be.
And it bothers other people? Is that what you mean by that?
No, that the individual who's actually portraying this, it would be like me. Okay. So I'm going through many challenges in my life, right? Like I'm going through separation over a year and a half now, been open about it.
Yeah.
Not easy though.
Yeah.
But now me being positive, there's a difference between taking the experiences of what I've had and what I've gained through those years and now looking at it at a lens of it helped me to propel forward, right? It helped me to move forward, right? So that's not toxic.
Okay.
What's toxic positivity, I think, is faking that and being like, oh, yeah, I'm so happy regardless of kind of what's going on in my life, where you do have to give the acknowledgement to the tough time and then see it through a lens to get positive versus just like ignoring what's really going on. And
I totally.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what
I 100%.
Did that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Sometimes I have to ask him because I think certain things and I'm like, that made no sense to me.
I think you hit it when you said like the faking it to make.
Yeah. But people do always say to me, they're like, dude, how are you so positive all the time? They say that. I'm like, I do choose this.
Yeah,
I choose it. It's a choice every day. And I have a lot 100%. Of great things that are going on in my life, regardless of the really bad moments that happen. Just because you had a bad moment doesn't mean that you're having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you have a bad day doesn't mean that you're having a bad week.
Yes.
And just because you're having a bad week doesn't mean that you're having a bad month and year and that your life sucks.
Love that.
You know what I'm
saying?
That's
the truth.
Compartmentalize the bad moments as moments and then move forward.
Address them.
Right.
I believe in accept what it is, but don't be naive to the fact that something bad has happened.
Right.
You know, I love that toxic positivity. Like, most people don't actually like, it's like, yo, accept what it is that happened, address it, but don't try to play it off like it didn't affect you.
Exactly.
Because it did affect you. And it's sitting in your mind little by little, and it eventually shows in other ways. We do so many things subconsciously.
Yeah, we do. What are you most proud of, man? That's a tough question because I hate being asked it myself.
One of my most proud of.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm most proud of, there's a few things, but I think one of the things I'm most proud of is that through everything that I've gone through, my business has gone through, the ups and downs, I'm proud that I just keep going. That's really what it comes down to, that like, I've not, like, for myself personally, this is a little bit of like a pridefulness for myself, that I've never hindered. I've never broke. I just keep going, like, no matter what. Like, I've gotten to the point where it's like, I don't think there's anything that could stray me away, you know?
Well, I mean, going through what you've gone through, I would agree.
And so,
and I love what you said before. That was probably the most impactful thing that I'm taking away from this episode. You don't break, but you bend.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. And that's the truth. That's what I'm most proud of when it comes to myself, you know, personally. But in life, I'm just proud of the impact and the difference that I believe myself, Tony, and Michael are making through Why Not You Media, through Why Not You, because we treat them as two different entities. I'm proud of the people that are around me. Like, I honestly, it just comes down to, I'm just so happy to see the people that I love and care about doing well. That's what I'm proud of. I'm proud that, like, my circle, I haven't lost anybody. You know, I'm proud of my best friends. Like, I'm the fourth person in my friend group that's lost a parent. Three of them have lost dads. I lost my mom, and they have not hindered, man. Like, they just keep going. Mm. And like, that's really what I'm proud of. I'm just proud to have the people I have in my life. That's really what it comes down to.
So, you know, very standard for me is acknowledging people for coming onto the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I acknowledge and I appreciate everybody that comes on. Yeah. I really do, because, you know, to take time out of busy schedules, yep. we typically choose individuals who got shit going on. Yeah. So, you know, I say that to say that I have a real deep appreciation for you, man.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you.
You know, I think you not only have a lot of great skills mm-hmm. about you, but you have something that's different.
I appreciate that.
You know, and like, you got here before me. And you were downstairs talking to CV. CV is not the most talkative individual, right? Yeah. And I say that as kudos to you mm-hmm. because you made him feel comfortable enough that, like, yeah. you know, you guys are chopping it up. And that's a special, unique thing about you, man. Yep. And hearing your story is a beautiful thing.
I appreciate it.
And I know mom is very proud, man.
Appreciate it.
You know, and I feel her with us.
That's all it's about for me.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, man.
I appreciate
it. And it's a pleasure to connect with you, pleasure yep. to meet you, and I'm looking absolutely. Forward to doing some more things.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, man. And I got to give you guys a shout out. Like, this is, I love what you guys are doing. I love when I see individuals being consistent. I love when they're making an impact, because this stuff is not easy, you know? So I really, when you reached out, I was just like, oh, let's go. You know, yeah. I was super excited, because I was like, I knew it was going to be a real conversation, not right. one of those get on and just talk about marketing the whole time, right. which I love to do. Don't get me wrong. But like, I love being able to share my story, because, you know, I look at it this way. If one person, I don't care how many views this thing gets. If it gets one view and it helps that one person, mm-hmm. that's all that matters to me. That's it. Obviously, views are great. You know, it helps yep, yep, those yep. that people you know, are resonating. But it's, if we help one person with what yep. we talked about today, like, that's all it's about. And they might never tell us, mm-hmm. but it helped them.
I know this episode is going to do real well, my brother. So don't worry about that. Let everybody know where they could connect you with you and find you.
Yeah. So you can find me on every single platform at Francis Volpe, FrancisVolpe. You can find me on TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. If you want to follow Why Not You Media, it's YNOTYOU Media. And if you love food and want to have a few laughs, Snack Time TV on YouTube and Snack Time TV on Instagram and Snack Time NY, haven't changed it yet, on TikTok. But go to the YouTube, Snack Time TV, and you can find everything there.
You just made CV's life so easy, though, by spelling it out so that yes. he could put it up on the screen.
But so many people spell my name with an E
yeah.
or call me Frank. I'm yeah. like, oh, my name is Fran or Francis.
Right. guys, so we thank you. Whether you listen to 1 or 170 with Francis, you know what time it is. I had to get my energy right. Volpe, we appreciate you guys. Share the show. It's because of you that this show continues to grow. As always, you can shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. And as always, until next time, stop snoozing.
Get up and get after it.
You know what time it is. Can you do it one time?
You want me to do it one time? You know what time it is.
There you go. Sign us off, CB.
Thank you guys for tuning in. That's another Epi in the books. You can follow us on Instagram at nosnoozepodcast and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, No Snooze. Shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. Come on.